What would be a good percentage to use, so that way I can just keep the same number going in there all the time?
Yeah. I don't really like percentages too much. I like actual numbers because I could say like 10%, 15%, but it really just depends on your situation. So I always try to look at like discretionary income. So like how much money is left over at the end of the month. So that's the first, like, first we got to see like how much money is left over at the end of the month, right? So it's like one or two things is happening. Either, and this is just like broad range statement, either you have money left over at the end of the month or you don't, or you're running in a deficit. So if you have money left over, you got to see how much money you have left over. So if it's like, okay, I have $1,000 left over after all my bills are paid, after, I have some fun every single month, I have at least $1,000 left over, right? So just using that number, I personally would probably do somewhere along the lines of like putting 30% of that money into like savings until you have, 6 to 12 months of savings, because that's important. And then I probably would look to invest 30%. So now that's like 60% of the money right there. And then maybe, 20% would go to, a kid's account. 20 to 15% will go to the kids' account, and then the rest is just kind of left for like miscellaneous. So that's what I would kind of go by more so than like, just a percent of like your total income, because I could say 10% of your income, but if that might be too much. So it's really more of a percentage of your discretionary income. And the discretionary income, I would say probably like 20%, 20 to 15% of the discretionary income that you can afford to, put away.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that, man. That helped me out a lot.
Nah, no problem, brother.
All right, y'all have a good one.
All right, Taryn, we're coming to you. Unmute yourself, please.
Hello. I'm good. And you, Rashad?
I'm good. I'm good.
Hi, Magna. I have a question. What are the disadvantages of an S Corp? I kind of think I know a little bit about the advantages in comparison to an LLC, but what are the disadvantages of an S Corp?
It's more structured. I think Ms. Business had actually taught a class about this, but you have to pay yourself a salary. So especially like if you're not making, that much money, or if your business is just starting out, it could be kind of pressure on you to, have payroll. So that's something that, definitely could take into consideration. Like I forgot the number that she said, but I think it's like $100,000, something like that. Like you should be making like $100,000 in your business before you go to S Corp route. Because yeah, it's definitely a lot more structured, but the off the top of my head, I would think that that would be something that, you just definitely have to consider, because you definitely have to put yourself on payroll. And whereas like a regular LLC, you could just, not pay yourself a month, 2 months, whatever, if not no money's coming in, or you just want to just, you're real thin that month. So that's something to take into consideration, especially a lot of businesses, especially when they first start, cash flow is very up and down. So, if your cash flow is up and down, you want to make sure you're getting to a point where you have some level of consistent cash flow first.
Okay. Thanks very much. That answered the question. Thanks.
All right,
No
thank you.
problem.
All right, Yod, we're coming to you. Unmute yourself, please.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for coming. My question is, I have two questions. My first question is, let's say, like example, like I have a mortgage that I was trying to pay early, between like probably like between 7 to 10 years. And also, let's say if I have some money that's coming in, let's say like if I have like probably between like 2 to 5 thousand, so like should I put it in the market? Even I do have automatic payment that contribution that I make every month for my investment on the stock market and crypto and stuff like that. So should I keep the best things for me to do? Should I like put that money in the stock market, or should I put it toward my mortgage? Even like in the future, I want to like to invest more in real estate. So what would be your yes, what would you suggest?
I mean, I think you could do both. I don't think it has to be a one or the other situation. You want to see what's most important. Is paying off your house more important, or do you think you can get a better return in the stock market? And especially if you got a low interest rate, it might be more advantageous to put the money into the market, because your opportunity cost is probably greater investing in the stock market. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you can't do both. So you could maybe if you was going to put $2,000 a month into paying off into your mortgage to pay it off, a lot quicker, maybe you put $500 a month, right? And, that's still going to add up over the course of the year, and could still knock off years of paying off your mortgage. So I would say, see what's most important to you, but you can definitely do both, especially with that amount of money. It's not like it's, you know, a couple of hundred, a couple of thousand. You can definitely, you know, allocate money to both of them. But the opportunity cost would probably be better investing in the stock market. But I also understand, you know, if you don't want to have the mortgage forever and you want to pay off the property sooner. So, you know, maybe you just do some calculations and see how that would work out if you did it for just a little bit less money than you would have done originally.
My other question is, what is the difference between like QQQ and QQQM?
You broke up a little bit. What did you say?
What's the difference between like QQQ and QQQM?
I think QQQM, Troy, I know the Q, the T, but yeah, let me make sure I get the right information on that.
I think it's a mini QQQ, but I would like to know if there's a difference like from the percentage of return or the amount of stocks that they invest in. Because that one is around like 3-something and then the QQM is around like 1-something.
144. Yeah, let me look. I have Troy doing research on it. Get back to you on that.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. And also for IRA, rough IRA for kids. So like, do they have to be a certain age to start a rough IRA for kids?
Yeah, they have to be. Well, yes and no. They have to, if you're doing it, if you're not self-employed, then they have to be of working age. Like they have to have a job. The working age depends on what state you live in, but as long as they have working papers and they have a job and they actually have to be working, that's another thing. So as soon as they're able to work, you can do it. But if you're self-employed, it's a little different because you can actually hire your child before they legally have like working papers, as long as they're actually working and they can actually do a job. So obviously like you can't hire a 2-year-old, like it's not, but like if you have like somebody that's like 10 or 11 years old and they're actually doing, you just have to be able to justify it in case you ever get audited. But you have more flexibility and you can hire younger if you're self-employed. But if the child is working just a regular job, whenever, if they could work a job, then they could, you could put money into the IRA.
Yeah, so basically you cannot do it in a custodial account
for the IRA.
Yeah, the Roth IRA.
Yeah, no, it's a custodial account. It's a Roth IRA.
Oh, so okay.
you still like the child is still a minor. The child's still a minor, so it's not like, you know, you got to set it up for them and you put the money in. But you know, you can have a custodial account where it's just in the market and it's there's no retirement account attached to it, or it's the retirement account, but it's still a custodial account.